ஹலோ அண்ட் வெல்கம் டு சங்கம் லிட். திஸ் இஸ் நந்தினி கார்கி. அண்ட் இன் திஸ் எபிசோட் வி அப்சர்வ் ஹவு இன்அனிமேட் ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ் எக்கோ த இன்னர் லேண்ட்ஸ்கேப் ஆஸ் போர்ட்ரேட் இன் சங்கம் லிட்ரரி ஒர்க் குறுந்தொகை 114 பென் பை பொன்னாகனார். The verse is situated in the coastal regions of Nethal and speaks in the voice of the confidant to the man, conveying news about his trysting with the lady. Nethal parappil paavai kidappi ninkuri vandanen iyalther konga selgam selaviyangonmo algalum aaral arunda vayitranaarai midikkum enmagal nudale. A doll in waiting is the curious message at the core of this verse. The opening words, Nethal parappil paavai kidappi, meaning laying the doll on a blue lily bed, captures the location. The said doll is lying in wait. In place of names used to address a protagonist, we see the expression Yelther konga, meaning lord of the coastal regions, owner of decorative chariots, and this illustrates a significant aspect of Sangam Aham poetry, which avoids mentioning names of real characters so that the thoughts expressed can be related to by anyone. Elements of nature greet us in Aaral Arunda Vayitranare, meaning stalks with stomachs stuffed with sand eels, and in one line talks about a bird and its preferred and seemingly abundant prey. Ending with the words Yen Magal Nudale, meaning my daughter's forehead, the verse makes us raise our eyebrows, wondering if the lady's confidant already had a daughter. What could be the significance of this tale of dolls and stocks? The context reveals that the man had fallen in love with the lady and had sought the help of the confidant to further his relationship with the lady. Acceding to his request to tryst with the lady, one day the confidant says to the man, "Laying my doll on a bed of blue lilies, I came to the spot you stood, O Lord of the seas and wielder of a well-adorned chariot. I shall leap. Please urge her to part before night falls, for storks with stomachs well-fed with sand eels may stamp on the fine forehead of my little daughter." With these words, the confidant informs the man in a hidden manner that the lady was waiting for him at their trysting spot and that he must take due caution to prevent the spread of slander about his relationship with the lady. All we heard was talk of the stomachs of well-fed birds and the forehead of daughters. How does the confidant manage to convey her intentions? Let's unravel the hidden meaning in her words. Talking about how she had just laid her doll on a bed of blue lilies, the confidant tells the man she now stands before him. Then she asks him to do two things. One is to leave thither, and two, to let another person leave before nightfall. It's here the decrypting must begin. It's highly unlikely that the Sangam man from the shows, one who rides fine chariots, would be interested in playing with a doll. So we understand that the confidant was talking about her friend, the lady, as if she were a doll lying on the leaves of the lily. Coming to the second question, who is it that the man must give leave to part before dark and why? To have this question answered, we have to listen to the rest of what the confidant says, who now talks of stocks with well-fed stomach stamping on the forehead of her daughter. Instead of literally assuming this daughter to be the progeny of the confidant, we have to connect back to the beginning of the verse where she talks of the doll amidst the lilies. It's this doll that she sees as her own daughter, and we know from our earlier decrypting that the doll was none other than the lady herself. It now becomes clear just as how the doll is an icon for the lady. The image of well-fed stocks stamping on the doll is a metaphor for how the women folk of the town who have gathered juicy rumors all day would spread slander about the lady and would thereby cause pallor to spread on the lady's fine forehead. That's why the confidant tells the man that indeed he was free to relish the company of the lady, but he should also keep in mind about the slander that could arise and cause trouble for the lady. And now we understand the reason the confidant instructs indirectly that the man must send the lady home discreetly before night falls. Leaving aside these concerns in man-woman relationships then, let us focus on how girls are portrayed as playing with dolls and seeing these objects as daughters. It made me wonder about how boys were portrayed in Sangam verses. Natrine 3 describes a scene where boys are seen playing with gooseberries as marbles, and Natrine 58 talks about a boy from an affluent home who plays with decorative drums. In this is an echo of how society seems to have compartmentalized play for girls and boys, and how it starts grooming them early for their supposed roles of caregiver and breadwinner respectively. Neither is this something that was done only in the ancient times. Even today, in many toy shops, when one is scouting for a gift, a salesperson will most probably ask, girl or boy, as if all it takes is the gender of the child to determine their interests. It's time we broke free of these outdated modes of dictating what boys and girls should be interested in. Next time, when we're buying a gift for a little child, instead of just looking at whether it's a he or a she, shall we get to know the child better and see all that they could possibly be? Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and minds. Please visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts and do spread the word about Sangam Lit. Until next time, Nandri, Vanakkam.